This is the Western Obsessions TV podcast, where hunting's not a hobby, it's an obsession.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Western Obsessions TV podcast. On this episode, I have a guest by the name of Armando Martinez. Armando owns a company called Bow Hitch. I have a bow hitch on my bow right now. I enjoy it a lot. It helps out a ton. We're going to get into that product for sure. That's a super cool, innovative product you guys need to know about. Before we do, let's chat with Armando, introduce him, and kind of get to know him a little bit. Armando, what's up, buddy?
Cool. Yeah, nothing, brother. Not a whole lot to me, man. I'm new to the entrepreneur world as far as the outside of the hunting. I grew up hunting, so yeah. I've been a hunter my whole life, but the entrepreneur side and being in the actual the business aspect of the hunting side of things is new to me. So you know, the podcast deal is new to me, the marketing, the getting out and meeting people and shaking hands, and you know, the product demo and all that stuff is new to me, but it's been a great ride. And the reason I bring that up is that it's been an amazing conduit to meet people, you know, and so that brought us together. So just a quick thank you to you. You know, I'm glad that we went through all these crazy things to whatever we went through to get to meet, you know, and to be able to meet with great people is, you know, there's a greater plan for all of us. And so for whatever reason we were put together, I'm extremely grateful for it. So, long way to say thank you, but I'm glad our weird world of getting into the business and the outdoor world brought us together. So I'm grateful to be here with you.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the big benefits of being in business in the outdoor world is you get to meet some pretty cool people, man. And my door is always open for meeting people because you never know who's going to walk through and, you know, Someone super cool. So I am not a stranger to the entrepreneurial world. I've been an entrepreneur since my first business was in my early 20s. So, and I'll be 44 this year. So I've been doing entrepreneur stuff for 20 years. And so we can definitely rap about that, man. How is owning your first business? I bet you if I said one word, it would wrap it up. Roller coaster. Am I right?
You know what? That's a great way to put it. I still think we're too young in the game to actually, which I think is a benefit, to actually have hit the dips. You know, we have some areas where things go a lot slower than I wish they would. But we've been fortunate enough to where when my partner and I started the business, everything is just our money, our time, our efforts. We didn't have any outside influence. We didn't have any outside money. So whatever we could afford to put into the business is what we put into the business. And because of that, you know, we're very conservative in the decisions that we've made and the quantities of things that we're building. Like all of our products are built right here in the U.S., like within an hour from my house. So to have that is amazing. So when I...
Armando, you back?
Okay, cool.
I think it's my internet.
Where did I leave?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Listeners, at night my internet gets weird and slow, dude. I don't know what it is. So, but we're back. We're talking about your product. We're talking about entrepreneurship. And with that being said, is we should probably kind of talk about your product and what it is. And you know, since we're kind of teasing it a little bit, you want to take that one away?
Cool. Well, let's, you know what? It's funny. We're in year four now with our product, right? And I feel like I'm probably just getting worse at explaining it because the hard part with us is there's never been anything like it. So I don't know if you remember the first time that you saw it or the first time we talked about it, but the bow hitch is a product that you put onto your bow. It's a small metal bracket that weighs just 3 ounces. It goes to the outside of your sight or directly to your riser. So when I say that, people are like, I have no idea what you're talking about. But The other part of the bow hitch is a 1-inch webbing that attaches to the load lifter on your backpack. So on your support side, if you're a right-handed archer, you carry your bow with your left hand. The strap would go on your left shoulder, kind of by your clavicle. It hangs down a little bit, and the one end of the strap has a loop. You attach one to the other, and that allows your bow to hang freely at your side while being adjacent to your shooting hand, if not in your shooting hand, without carrying the weight of your bow. So we're a new way to carry your bow. We are not a sling, because a sling covers your cams. It goes in two different places. It's loud, it's cumbersome, and it takes a lot of movement to take the sling off of your bow. We're very, very sleek. We're silent. There's no moving parts. And we're extremely efficient in going from being slung and not carrying your bow to having your bow in your hand and ready to shoot. So we're a new way to carry your bow.
It is kind of hard to explain it. I guess I never really tried to explain it that much. It is different.
Yeah.
I was gonna
ask you how you would explain it.
Yeah.
Because I mean to me, every time it's a little bit different. You know, sometimes I come home from the shows and after telling 4,000 people how it works, I'm a little bit better, but I haven't been to a show in a little while, so maybe I don't know. It's just different. Go to thebowhitch.com and look it up is the easiest way. Cause once you see it, you're like, oh snap, that's cool. Now that makes sense. But yeah, me just explaining it to somebody who's never, heard of the concept, and speaking of the concept, nobody had heard of the concept because there's never been anything like it. And, we just got our patent on the bow hitch.
Oh,
so
cool,
we are officially patented. We didn't get any kickback. The patent officer sent us a few questions, and you know, kind of like they always do, and we were warned by our patent attorney, like, this is going to come back and they're going to tell us no because of a couple of different reasons. What they are, we don't know, but they will never just tell you, okay, you know, here's your patent, everything looks great. He said that just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
However, that being said, the patent attorney sent us a list of whatever, like, I think it was like 18 questions. I don't know what they call them, but he had 18 issues with what we were claiming on our patent. And so he had 18 questions as to how he was going to challenge us on those. Mm-hmm. So we wrote back our answers as to why we didn't agree with his answers, and freaking accepted all of them, dude, and gave us our patent. So,
yeah, that's great. I've done some patent stuff in my entrepreneurial life too, and it's not easy, man. It's just a lot of work and a lot of BS red tape you got to go through. But yeah, kind of describing your product just for our listeners to understand. Go to bowhitch.com. And for me, if I had to wrap it up real quick, is an easier way to carry your bow that allows you to be more effective in the field too. Because yeah, like a bow sling is a sling that goes on both cams. It goes over your shoulder or your back, or if you strap your bow to your pack, you can't be hunting while you're slinged up or while you're strapped to your back. You can't. But with a bow hitch, you can be. You can have an arrow knocked in. You could be on a stock with that hitch in. You could literally put your bow up, getting ready to, like, you could almost, like, you know, be hooked in, ready to draw, and just flip that little tether off of your hitch, man, and you're there. So that's what I really liked about it, because it was smart, is you kept it in your shooting hand as you're hiking, and boom, you could be in a shooting position very quickly and ready for, you know, if an animal popped out. So I like that a lot.
Yeah, that's a great explanation. Something that we have, like when we go to our trade shows, on the bottom of our table, we have for hunting, not hiking. Like a lot of the contraptions that are built are for transporting your bow, which is what people want. They don't want to carry their bow while they're going from A to B, or, you know, sometimes, you know, for us in the West, we go from A to B to Z, you know, four different times in one morning. And people get tired and they don't want to carry their bow, so they look for any excuse not to. So for us, our big deal was keeping your bow accessible to hunt. So if you're using a bow hitch, you're hunting, you're not hiking. If you want to put your bow on a sling or in your backpack, which there's a time and a place for it, no biggie, but you're no longer hunting. You're transporting that set, your bow and your body from point A to point B. You're out of the game at that point with any animal.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. Unless you see something off where you stop, take your pack off, unstrap your bow or take your sling off, unsling the bow. And like, but that takes time. And then, you know, you're not hunting. You're right. You're not hunting when it's slinged up or if it's packed up. Yeah.
Yeah. So, even at that point, you know, say you do see one on the other side of the ridge, you still have 400, 600, 700, 800 yards to cover. So then you're going to use the bow hitch because you're going to be able to, check it out. But that's kind of the premise of it. That's the premise of it. My partner and I are both, I retired last year, but he's still an active fireman. And so, the premise of our stuff, our business name, actually, you had mentioned our business is the bow hitch. Our business name is simply Savage Solutions. Oh. And the bow hitch is one of our products. The weird thing is that it's not weird. It's just the way it worked out. We started our business name because you have to get a business name, the LLC, the bank account, all that stuff. Was simply Savage Solutions. We didn't even have a name for the bow hitch at the time. We had one product and it wasn't named yet. So we had simply Savage Solutions. Well, when we finally came out with the name for the bow hitch, we had simply Savage Solutions and the bow hitch on some of our, you know, some of our copy for our page and for whatever else we were doing. But we were given some advice by somebody who had been in the game before us. They're like, hey man, you need to pick one, you know, like Simply Savage Solutions has nothing to do. Like if I'm walking in a store and I see Simply Savage Solutions on a bow hitch, does that tell me anything? Zero.
Zero.
At least bow hitch says, okay, it goes on your bow and it's a hitch. Like you can kind of get the concept. This is probably belongs in the archery world. So we went straight to bow hitch. And because we only had one product, it was easier for us to be the bow hitch guys and the bow hitch and everything was just bow hitch. However, now that we have a rifle sling and a tripod sling, it's better for us to go back to the Simply Savage Solutions umbrella. So that's what we're doing. We're going to be launching a new website that just goes back to our roots of Simply Savage Solutions, which is the inventor of the bow hitch, the solution sling, as well as the tripod sling.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I know you, is like the bow hitch guy, right?
That's dude to everybody, yeah.
You know, what's funny also is I think the first time I saw your Instagram, that's probably where I was introduced to you, was through Instagram.
Okay.
My brain said bow witch. It's where my brain went with it for some reason. It wanted to say bow. And I was like, bow witch? Huh, that's interesting. Yeah. But then I was like, no, that's not what it is.
Every time I get that all the time, and even for myself, I'll see I have it written down somewhere and I'm like, dude, did you type it right? Because you fat finger, you know, things all the time, especially on the phone as you're trying to do a post. And so I am forever checking to make sure I don't do that, because I promise you I have many a times put the bow witch.
Yeah,
you know that that happens.
Well, you know, I mean, I kind of think I probably know how you guys came up with this product, but why don't you give me the origin story, man, as how this product was birthed.
Sure. So like all good inventions, right? Like you're just solving a problem. There's a problem. Everybody has it. My buddy and I were on a hunt together, some steep, nasty country. He was using a system that him and his uncles had built like 15 years ago. And it was nothing like the bow hitch, but the concept was there of you not carrying your bow and it being stuck to your backpack. So the cams were offset, like everything was totally different, but the idea was there. And so I, you know, we talked about it and I had told him, I'm like, you know, Dougie, that's pretty cool, dude. Like, the way you have your bow set up there is sweet. Like, you just have to pick it up and unclip, and you're kind of right there. And he goes, yeah, man, it's pretty neat. So I said, you know, you ought to think about doing something with that. And I've talked about it. You know, me and my uncle talked about it, but we've had it for years and years, and nobody's ever done anything. And so I said, you really got to look into it, dude, because that's amazing. You know, there's probably something there. And so he, nah, nothing. He said, yeah, we'll look into it. So a year goes by, and I ask him again, Dougie, did you guys do anything with that thing with your bow? And he goes, nah, we haven't done nothing. 2 years goes by, Dougie. And I'm getting kind of anxious, right? I'm like, Dougie, did you do anything, dude? And he's like, nah. He's like, we ain't gonna do anything, man. Like, we haven't done it for this long. Like, we just won't do it. So I said, well, if you're not gonna move forward with it, you know, I think it's a very special concept. And if you put some time into it, you can probably make something pretty special. And so he said, well, if you think, you know, you have some ideas and you wanna work on it, I'll go into it with you, and you know, we'll do it. And we had a conversation, and you know, shook hands and said, okay, you know, if we're gonna do this, let's do it 110%, because there's something here. And I love telling this story is that you know, so we shook hands, we agree, cool, we'll figure this out and make it work. And so I get my wheels turning, and Dougie, you know, is doing the same. You know, he's been sitting on the concept for a dozen years or whatever it was, 10 years, and he had already had it. So it's new to me. It's fresh in my mind. And I'm like, man, I'm not going to carry my bow anymore. Like, dude, this carrying your bow sucks, which is our slogan, carrying your bow sucks. And so I'm like, if there's a way to not do this, because I've bought every contraption there is. I have the slings, I have the this, I have the that. And I was never satisfied with any of them. Like, I'm sure many of the listeners, you know, you got to try new things. Sometimes they look cool, sometimes you get sold on whatever. But for whatever reason, nothing had worked for me the way I wanted it to. So come back to me thinking about it. So I'm thinking about his concept, and I say, okay, well, the one thing I didn't like is that the cams were offset. It's kind of leaning, and it makes a lot of noise when you have to take it apart and put it down. But the cool thing is you're not carrying your bow. So I figured out, and this is the cool part, is that I drew on a napkin on my dining room table, you know, the problem with his, and I fixed it with an angle. And I changed it from a buckle system to, you know, an open-ended system. That way there would be no moving parts and no sound. And so literally the first one, man, is drawn right downstairs on my dining room table on a napkin.
Still got that napkin?
I still have it. It's sitting right over here. Yeah.
That's
Yeah,
awesome.
it's buried. It's buried away, but I have the first one there. And so I said, well, that kind of looks like it'll work. You know, I offset it, and now it's kind of the opening is by your D loop, so it should hold and lay flat. And you know, everything kind of just worked out from there, man. Doug and I, like I said, we're both firemen, and so for us, it was very important to keep things simple. Like, and I think that was just a natural thing. Like, my mind, I'm not an engineer. I can't add very well. I don't spell very well. Like, I don't do a lot of things very well. Like, 20 years in the fire service, put the wet stuff on the red stuff. You know, like, we, you know, it boils down to the basics on a lot of things we have to do. You know, that oversimplifies it. However, there's a job that has to get done. You do it the most efficient way possible, the safest way. And then you're done with it. Then you go to the next call, and then the next call. But when you get into these high pressure moments, and you know, this kind of goes back to some of our firefighting equipment, you know, they're built around a very basic principle. Like, there's a valve on the hose, and you open it and water comes out. You
Right.
need too much water, then you shut it a little bit. If you need a different pattern, you turn it one direction or the other. Like, that's a pretty simple piece of machinery to operate, right? So for us, it was important in these pressure situations, like, let's not overcomplicate it. So when we came out with the opening that just requires our webbing to slide into it, that was just the match, like the match made in heaven. Like, no moving parts, no sound, You just slide it in and slide it off. Like, I don't care how big that bull is or that buck is or whatever it is you're hunting. You don't have to think about sliding something. Like, it's just a natural thing that you do. So that's kind of how the bow hitch got started, and kind of the background and kind of philosophy with it, that more of the philosophy side is us now trying to keep it basic, because you come up, oh man, we could add a little lock so it doesn't come off, you know, or we could do a buckle and do this and do that. And so you can overcomplicate it. You can over engineer a lot of things. And so the beauty of the bow hitch is its simplicity. And we're trying to keep it simple. Like our business name, Simply Savage Solutions.
Yeah. Yes. Keep it simple, stupid, right?
Yeah, it's the exact 1,000%. We live by that motto. Yes.
No, and it's good, man. When you got a good product like that, it's a good, solid product. Like, it's not, and it's not jinky, man. It's not made out of bad material or things that would break. It's like a very good, solid product that, you know, you buy one bow hitch, unless you guys do, you know, a couple years down the road, do some kind of innovative new stuff to it. It'll be that it'll last you forever on your bow. You know, it's not something that'll break or anything like that. So really good product, man. And you're right. You don't overcomplicate it, because now you got a good product. Now the challenge is marketing the product and getting the world to know about the product.
Yes. 1,000%, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's the hard part, man, is it's, you know, you can have the best product in the world, but if no one knows about it, then no one knows about it. Who gives a shit about your product, right?
Oh, dude, you're talking to the choir here. So that's been a difficult thing for us, is that, still to this day, we have not taken on any outside monies. Firemen budgets are pretty limited with being public servants. Dougie has 3 kids. You know, I have 2 kids. They go to private school. Advertising and marketing budgets don't take cover themselves. So we've, to this point, for the first, we're about year 5 in business now, year 3 of actually selling it, completing year 3. But up until about October of last year, we didn't pay any advertising budgets, zero, nothing. It was all word of mouth. And just us growing organically and going to 3D shoots and trying to get the word out, man. And so it's been an amazing, they say you build your tribe and that's who will sell it for you. We have an amazing tribe that just believes in us and the product, which I think is cool. You know, they're buying us just as much as they are the bow hitch, because the price point is right. You know, we're a $50 price point for something that, Just everybody here, stop and picture your bow. How much did you pay for your bow? How much is a set of strings? So now you're like, $1,500 into it, $1,800 into it. How much was your sight? Between $200 and $600. How much are your arrows? Between $200 and $400. How much are your broadheads? you just add up all these things that go onto your bow, your stabilizer, your quiver.
Oh yeah, man.
Everything on that bow is expensive. So for us, we feel very cool because we're coming in at a $54.99 price point. And so you put this on your bow once, and like you said, if you don't change your bow, significantly for the next 10 years, you're using our one product for the next 10 years. That saves you from carrying the bow by your strings, ruining a set of strings. It just extends the longevity of the life of that. Your arm, your fatigue, like, it just gives you extra time out in the field because you're not fatigued. You're making better decisions. You're not saying, ah, shit, I'm kind of tired. I'm gonna go ahead and take a little nap. Like, you might say, hey, I actually feel pretty good. Let me hit another ridge. And you never know what's going to bugle on the other side or what you're going to bump into. So, we obviously like our product, but the cool thing about it is, hey, man, you like it. Cool. If you don't, cool. Like, we're not here to sell you anything. I love to show you the bow hitch. If it's for you, great. If it's not for you, no problem. I wish you the best anyway. But when we go to the 3D shoots, we take an entire tackle box full of orange painted bow hitches, and anybody who wants to try one could try it out for free. Because the minute you put it on your backpack and you start walking away, 90% of people turn around and they're like, bro, let me just have a green one or a black one or whatever. Cause they're like, this thing is wicked. This is wicked already. So that's, you know, I want you to like it. But for the, yeah, we want you to want it. I won't sell you anything.
Yeah, no, it's a product you don't really have to sell. I mean, you got to market it. You got to get people.
I got to market it.
Yeah. But you don't have to sell that product, right? It kind of sells itself. And if you do a lot of backcountry type of hunting, you just understand what we're talking about. And maybe some of the whitetail guys maybe cannot relate as much, because typically they're not doing as much hiking into their stands as you know, an elk hunter or a mule deer backcountry hunter. But man, I tell you what, like every little ounce that you carry, every pound that you carry just adds up over time. And I found the most creative ways to carry my bow on my body as I'm hunting, you know, like from the over the head to the under the armpit, like every way to carry the bow on the body. But it's really nice just to let it hang and, you know, that sling, dude. I took it on my elk hunt last year, and that's the first time I really used it out in the field. And I really enjoyed it, man. And sometimes I would still strap to my pack if I'm like, okay, I'm just beating shoot. Sure. I'm just getting where I need to go. But as soon as I was like, okay, I'm hunting, man, it's strapped up, you know, it's good.
That's it, man. That's exactly what it was built for. Exactly what it was built for. So, you know, thank you for trying it. You know, a lot of people, that's what we got to get them to do. And, you know, what you had brought up, the whitetail hunters, and Doug and I, we thought Mississippi West was going to be our target demographic. And I was, you know, watching YouTube videos and trying to figure out what's our target demographic. How many people are in our target area? So I'm trying to teach myself these business things, right? And so I ruled out the entire eastern half of the United States, which I had no idea how big the market was over there. Oh, and that was a huge mistake. Oh, it was insane, dude. I saw the numbers and it's just ridiculous. What's more ridiculous is the fact that the amount of whitetail hunters that want them, it's awesome. Because so many times they tell us, they're like, dude, I hate going into my stand with my bow on a sling or not ready, and how many times I busted deer on the way in or on the way out, and I have no access to my bow. So we're selling them. It's going great to the whitetail hunters. So we didn't know we had that market, but tons of them have reached out to us and they're like, dude, I took a shot off the ground because I was available with my bow. I just slid it off my bow hitch, had my arrow knocked and sent it like that. So it's just something we didn't know. Number one, I've never been in a tree.
No,
I've never been in a tree. So that was foreign to me. Something we did learn last year at the ATA is our single point sling. I don't know if I sent you one of those, the AR-15 style sling.
Man, I don't know which
one. Did you
one
see that one? No. If you got yours, just okay. So it's you know what a single point AR style sling is, right?
Yeah.
So it's basically that for a bow hitch. So okay. You just put the strap going across your chest, and yeah. The people that are running the saddle hunting.
Yeah.
When they saw the bow hitch and that strap going across, they're like, holy shit, dude, to carry this in a saddle and then I don't have to reach up and over to pull my bow. It's always right there on my side. So anytime they pivot, their bow's always on their left side. So anytime you want to come up, you just simply slide up, you lock off, and you're ready to send it, dude.
Man, great point. Yeah, because when you're I hunt out of a saddle, I hunt out of a tree, and it's, you always got to hang your bow on a little hook off the tree somewhere. So like deer come in, you got to reach up, grab
yes.
your bow. But if it's hanging right there on your hip, on your left side, man, it's like, that's game changer right there for whitetail guys.
Yeah. So you can hang it on that. It's called the single, we call it the 2A bow sling. And the reason we call it the 2A is because it's, my partner and I, like I said, we were both firemen, but both of us worked in the arson investigations division. So we both were certified law enforcement officers. We had to go to the police academy, do all that deal. So we have the AR-15s and all that stuff from that academy. And so we were able to adapt the single point sling to work with the bow hitch as well as your AR-15. So when you buy one of our 2A slings, it works with your AR-15 or the bow hitch.
Dude, that's so pretty cool, man. I didn't even know you had that product, dude.
You talked about marketing. That's 1,000,000,000% where we struggle. Like, you know, I feel like I do okay on this type of stuff and talking with people and showing the product I'm good at. But the marketing is, you know, you don't know what you don't know type of thing. And you just hear all the stories of, you know, well, I invested some money in this and it didn't really work. And I invested some money that and it didn't work. And that's pretty much what happened to us. We did 3 months of advertising with the company. And to us, we didn't see the return on investment. So we stopped it just because I don't have $1,000 a month to just, you know, send to get somebody down the road in 4, 5, 6 months. You know, I don't have that. So,
yeah, man, you know, it's like the marketing things. If I'm a marketing agency, I'm going to pitch you on views on your product, right? Like, well, we got your branding out to 1,000,000 eyeballs, and you're as the company, I'm like, I don't give a shit. Like, if I'm not making sales, I can't pay for this marketing, you know?
Yes, that was 1,000% what happened, because they're like, dude, these click rates are insane. Like, I've never seen a market run a campaign run this good. And he's like, kudos to your page. You know, people are very engaged with the bow hitch page. And so when we put something out with it, they get tons of eyeballs and tons of love and tons of clicks and whatever he's selling me on, which he's not selling me. I'm sure he's accurate in what he's saying. However, I'm looking for, I want a bunch of orders in my Shopify cart. That yes. tells me people are seeing it. If that doesn't happen, then I'm not necessarily sold 100% because I need to pay for it somehow.
Nice, dude. I've been a small business guy in your shoes many, many times I've done a ton of different types of businesses, and I've never taken outside money. I've always done it with myself. The only thing I've kind of taken outside money, I guess, was I franchised a company, so I would sell franchises, and then they franchise fee, right? So I guess that was franchise money. But, and it's always, you got to get super creative, man. And like, if you're going to spend money on marketing, like, you're risking a lot as a small business to do that. So there's like two major ways of growing a business. You do it organically, like you guys are doing, which is a slower way of doing it, but a safer way of doing it. And it's a lot more labor intensive on you guys. Or you go big, get some outside money, and invest it into marketing, invest it into scaling your business through, like, you know, the production side, like making sure you can produce the amount of products that you will be selling. And then, so like right now, I bet you guys are probably distributing all with yourselves, right? Like, you guys are probably doing all that distribution. Like, are you putting everything in the mail yourself, right?
Everything.
Yep. And then you probably have a company that's making your product and they're sending it to you and you're distributing out when you get orders. So it's a lot of labor, which is, it's safe, man. Like, you know what money's coming in, you know what money's coming out, you know how to order it. It's just really slow growth. And something may happen where you may pop off. Like, you get on like Joe Rogan's podcast, not Western Obsessions podcast. And right? It's going to pop off. Right? So like, that's one way to do it. The other way is kind of going bigger and accepting some outside money coming in to put majority of that money into marketing, onto ads, and then scaling your distribution. So making sure your manufacturer can keep up with the sales, and then you take the distribution off of you guys where you're not packaging and shipping anymore. You hire that done. That would be the other way of doing it. But man, I've been in your shoes, dude. And for a fireman's salary, you just don't have that. Like, you probably would be spending your savings to make that. You're making a huge risk, right? So to do that or on your own, you really can't do it, man. It's too big of a risk. To bring outside money in, you got to pretty much give up a piece of the pie. That means you got to give up ownership. And at some point, you got to look at, okay, are we good with organic growth? Are we good with owning 100% of X? Or would we be okay with owning 75% of X if X quadrupled or went up 100 times its production, right? Because then you may be making a lot more money, even though you're a 75% owner, or, you know, I'm just doing random numbers. You may be making a lot more money doing that, giving up a little piece of the pie and to do it like that. It's just a decision, man, that you guys make. And, you know, it's a tough decision for sure. I know.
It's a tough one, man. I've really been fighting that lately. I was fortunate enough to go on a show. It's called The Blocks. And it was an entrepreneur show that was filmed, and like it's basically a reality show. Wes is his name from The Challenge. I don't know if you know who that is. I never watched TV really, but apparently he's the most world famous reality TV star. He's like from the real world and does all these competitions and wins them all. And so turns out he's actually an entrepreneurial like genius, man, and that's where his real talent lies. And so he created this thing called Beta Blocks, and it's a show that they're recording just like a reality TV show. So I was fortunate enough to get picked up on season 7. I sent in my, you know, a request to get looked at, and I made it through the entire, you know, hiring process, if you will, or they made all the cuts. You know, you do interest card. And then after your interest card, they give you some email questions, you write back, and then you send in some video questions that you have to respond to. And then after that, it's a live interview. And then shortly after that, you know, they sent me a formal invitation to become a part of the season 7 cast. And so I flew out to Missouri, and I stayed there for a week doing a competition against 70 other businesses. And so it was just a grind, dude, for 5 days. Just, you get taught business classes in the morning, and then the afternoon portion was a competition, you against, you know, groups of 10. Each group had their own individual business coach who was already, you know, making buku money and had been there and done it. And so kind of like a mixture of Shark Tank, a mixture of like Survivor or something, I don't know. But it was freaking cool. It was so intense. Learned a lot. But a lot of them are in the process of looking for funding. You know, they're saying, you know, I remember vividly one of the coaches said that he had raised $450,000. So this is the guy who's already making millions. Mm-hmm. And he was happy to say, hey, man, I just want to let you guys know, I got an email last night that confirmed we just raised $450,000 for whatever line he was doing. It was, I think a hat type of company with him and a buddy. So they had raised that much money. So he was so excited about it. And I'm like, dude, if you're making millions of dollars, why would you be raising money? You know, but it's the whole scale question. And I'm at a real crossroads with it right now, because the amount of effort that we're putting in to just pay for ourselves, like, we don't take a paycheck. We've never made any money. You know, we're a little over year 3 into selling the Bow Hitches. So for us, I feel very fortunate, because when we started, you know, everything's coming out of pocket. So he's got to tell his wife, and I got to tell my wife, hey, we need, you know, we need $3,000 to place an order, and to, we would really like to go to this show in, you know, where was the first one in Indiana, the ATA, to show people our product. And it's gonna, we need flights, we need hotel, we need entry fee, we need to take product, you know, all these things. So all that's out of pocket. And so now, fortunately for us, we've been, last year we were able to pay everything just from the money we make from Bow Hitch. We're able to pay for our gas, for our hotel, for our entry fees into ATA, to MAF, to all these shoots we do. So That's really cool to be at a point where we're pretty much, you know, flatline. But that being said, like, we're on the verge of blowing up. Like, I have a contract sitting in my inbox right now from Major League Baseball, and they want to run Major League Bow Hitch edition, Major League Bow Hunter edition. Yes, and they are looking to market it and put it on their page, you know, which is epic. It's freaking, like, that's great. That's a start. And I know that that's just the beginning. Like, this thing could blow up tomorrow. So that being said, I'm at a very weird place where it's like, dude, almost like the shit or get off the pot type of thing. Like, we can nickel and dime this and do a lot of work for zero return, or we could take a chance and bring in some outside money and figure out what's happening and get some professionals, you know, because this is not my realm, you know, as far as the business side of things. So it's a pretty interesting place to be.
It is, man. And I know the place you're in. And after a while, after working your butt off for years and not being able to put money in your pocket, it feels like you're doing a lot of work for nothing when you're not reaping the reward from it. And it can be super discouraging, man, and like beats the shit out of you. And I know, you know, you get reward by like watching your brand grow and watching other people use it in the industry. Like, I know you get reward from that, but in my opinion, man, I am okay with using other people's money to make more money. You know what I mean? Like, I'm okay giving up a little control. I'm okay giving up pieces of the pie because I'm not the smartest man in the room a lot of times, right? I want to bring smarter people into the room than I am that can take my company, my brand to the next level. And if they believe that they can make a big return on investment, then it's a win-win. And then they're going to work hard to make your company big too, right? So I would definitely look hard at it, man. But if you got something that's about to pop it off already, you don't need that outside money, then maybe you don't need that. You know what I mean? So if you got something going on with
that.
So
yeah, dude, it's very, very interesting. So I'm excited. I just you know, I just want to be able to provide. And I had told them, like, we'll be ready for you. The good thing is, man, everything's made right here in New Mexico. You know, I pick up the bow hitches 40 minutes this way. I drop them off 20 minutes that way. They get powder coated. Our sewing is all here in New Mexico, right here in Albuquerque. So it's pretty badass that everything is here. Yeah.
Super cool. I think that's a selling point right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Local, sourced local. Like, that's a pretty cool selling point right there.
So our marketing, that gets back to our marketing, like, has so many cool things to share, you know, about just the business itself. And that's been a struggle for me. So I have glimpses and glimmers of like, damn, that was really good. And then I get busy, or the kids get sick, or I'm at work, or whatever happens, and I lose my train of thought and I don't stick to whatever it was I was doing. And that, you know, the consistency part of it, you know, is really hard, man. I went to Target and I bought me a nice big calendar. So I would like to do, okay, this week we're going to work on this, and the following week we're going to branch off and speak on this, and just build some sort of a program for myself in order to post consistently about the same message. Or, you know, like, if I'm going to teach you how to install it, let's install it on 5 different bows this week. You know, it's all the same, but they all have little intricacies depending on your sight, depending on your quiver. You know, it works on them. It's just small little questions people have that I know need to get answered. But where do I have the time to go record myself doing this at a busy archery shop, you know, with 5 different bows where it's quiet enough where I can record? And it's a, I don't know, it's just another struggle, which is a blessing to have that, but that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, I mean, you're at a point where, again, you're wearing a lot of hats. You're the, you know, business manager, you're the employee, You're the owner, you're the marketing manager, you're the social media marketing man. Like you're everything, man. You're
everything.
Company, you're probably, hopefully you have someone doing your own bookkeeping. Don't do that yourself.
Yeah.
You need time to do that, right? Like, but yeah, you're wearing every hat, man. And social media alone is a monster undertaking, man. It takes so much time and effort to keep up on social media. So I feel for you, man. And I know where you're at. Just to stay consistent on social media is a tremendous job, man. And planning out helps. And I do a terrible job of planning, man. My own stuff, like, and I do some digital marketing for Worldwide Trophy Adventures. So I do a lot of stuff for those guys. Those guys take a ton of my time and energy, rightfully so. They pay me to do it. So, but then whatever's left over, I'm doing for my own brand, my own channel. And I do a good job planning for those guys, but I do a terrible job planning for my own brand. And I use the analogy of, like, if I'm on a ship and I'm sailing to an island, and if I don't have a roadmap or like a map to get there, I'm going to get lost, right? I'm going to get lost in the ocean. But two, if I just put my head down and just like start going, at some point I got to look up and say, oh, am I still heading towards that island? You know, I might just be doing circles in the ocean with my head down 2 inches in front of me, right? So like, that's a good analogy, man, for like kind of what you're doing is like plan it out. But you can't get so stuck in the weeds of the little things every day. Like, you got to still look up and see that vision of where you want to go and where you want to take your company.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. That's a great analogy. I never had heard that one. Not put that way, not at all. So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. No problem, man. Where do you want to take Bo Hitch? What's your goal?
That's a great question, honestly. So, I retired in August, so I've been retired a little over a year. I have the last 10 years of my career were as an arson investigator. So it's a very unique skill set, right? To have law enforcement, to have fire, to be trained in this very specific area of firefighting and police work, to where you go into a burnt building and you figure out where and how the fire started. So it's super cool. However, firefighters are one of the high or arson investigators. On top of that, even worse is for cancer. So, you know, you're walking in through these burnt buildings where there's even more carcinogens, and you're just sweating your ass off, and these things are coming in and out of your body and every orifice. And, you know, you can only protect yourself so much with PPE. And so I pretty much made the decision when I retired, like, hey, I'll chop it up. Like, maybe if somebody wants to, you know, wants me to look at some cases, I'll do some PI type of work and, you know, give them expert witness testimony. But when I started looking into that, you know, most of the people who want to pay you for expert witness testimony are defense attorneys, you know. So I'm like, you know, F that, you know, like, for lack of a better term, like, I don't put these shit bags in jail to flip around and then let them out. So I kind of wrote that one off, like, being a street cop, you couldn't pay me enough to do that right now. Our department is in shambles over here in Albuquerque. And honestly, it doesn't matter where you are. The police officer isn't respected and given the power he needed. You know, he needs to do his job the way it should be done. So, to my family, that wouldn't be fair to go and do that every day. So it's, I'm not sure. Right now I'm working on my daughter's school. She goes to a private school that's, you know, pretty expensive to go to, but I hate working over there. So I'm at a real crossroads, you know, like, it's weird to be 42 years old and be like, dude, you could go one of many ways. You know, I have some other skill sets I can use. You know, I did a lot of guiding before. I could do that and make some good money, but then I'm gone again, you know. So it's just, I'm in a weird place, man. So I need to find me something that I can work part-time hours, make enough to pay for my kids' school, and still dedicate some time to the bow hitch, because it's ready to blow. Like, I have no doubt it's coming. And And not that, you know, outside opinion, you know, means a whole lot, but once you hear something enough times, like, you kind of say, okay, there's a pattern here. I've been fortunate enough to talk to many business owners who have been successful in businesses and failed in other businesses, but have done it right. Like, they know, okay, shit, this ship is going to sail, or this shit is going down, you know, like, you've seen enough businesses to know this solves a problem. You know, they have very low overhead. This is an inexpensive, you know, product to make once you know what you're doing. Like, if you put this out in the public, it's going to make a lot of money. Like, so this is a winner, you know. I think we just hear that so much. I know it's there. I freaking know it's right there. So,
but yeah, you're in a
I don't know.
You're in a tough spot because, you know, in my 20s, I could take some big risks because I didn't have a family, right? But now with a family, you can't take those big risks, man. Like, I took a really big risk in my mid 20s where I sold a business, got out of it, and opened up a new business, but I didn't have any money to really, like, pay rent because I wasn't cash flowing at all. I lived on my buddy's couch for like 2 years as I was building my business up. And you can't do that with a family, you know?
No.
So you can't take those risks, man. So yeah, you gotta be smart, man. Now that you have a family, you gotta make sure the family's taken care of and do things. You just can't take those big of risks anymore. You know? So
yeah,
I feel you. I know the spot you're in, but man. And I don't want to push you one way or the other. And I enjoy these conversations, man. I love entrepreneurship. I love business. I don't want to push you one way or the other, but like, at the end of the day, dude, when you're 80, 90 years old and you're on your deathbed and you're like, dude, do you think you would regret not taking that shot, not taking that chance with Bo Hitch? You know what I mean?
I feel that in my gut. Like my body's telling me you need to do it. The level-headed side of me is putting more thought into it. Like, I know I will do it is kind of like the way I see it. This will happen. I'm the guy that's shit. I kind of like that. You know, I probably don't really need it, but like, yeah, fuck it. Whack, buy it. You know, like that's me to a T, dude. Like, I don't really need this, but it's all right. I'll think about it for a minute. Walk down the aisle, come back, grab it. Let's go. You know? Yeah. So with this, I know we need to do it. It's going to happen. I'm just pumping the brakes and making sure that I do it, you know, the right way or with the best information I have available to me. So I'm trying to educate myself what very little time I do have available to learn things. You know, I'm podcasting, I'm YouTubing, I'm watching and I'm learning and I'm listening as much as I can. I'm asking questions to other business owners. And so we're really just trying to make as best of an educated decision as I can, all while knowing like I have something special, which is cool, right? Like, cool. A lot of the people I was competing against, they didn't know what they had. They didn't know what their product, they were there to find out if they had what it took, if their product was good or not. And some of the products got dropped while they were there. They're like, dude, I'm pivoting right now. I don't know why I didn't see this before, you know? And some of them, you know, were already making millions and millions of dollars. So here's another cool thing. They pulled 10 businesses out of those 70. A lot of them, some of them were doctors. So there was a lot of 70 businesses there. A lot of them are already profitable, making a ton of money. I got called into this special meeting that was only 10 teams. And so the guy sits down and starts talking to us. Cameras are everywhere, right? And he says, okay, well, this is a special meeting. And, you know, I prefer that you guys didn't go back and talk to the other people about it because you guys are the 10 businesses I feel are the most investable. And this is going to be a quick Q&A, but we're going to go around. I have questions for everybody. And the guy's a genius. I'm telling you, he had questions on the top of his head for each one of our businesses, dude. And it was just going around. And one of them was like a spa who's making like tons of just millions of dollars and they're just expanding and franchising and stuff like that. Another one invented these tarot cards and these kind of like play dolls for African Americans. She just got bought out by or was marketing with Warner Brothers, not Warner Brothers. What's the Parker Brothers? Is that the games?
Yeah.
The toys. So Parker Brothers got in and brought her in, and they're going to be making a limit. They made a first run of 50,000 of her tarot cards and her dolls to as a demo, as to a trial run. So she's going to make buku money. Just all these amazing businesses, real estate investor who they said he's going to be in the next 10 years, he should be over a B with a billion in assets. And freaking, we were in there, dude, with zero money made. And we were in there. I was just, you know, banging with the rest of these dudes, doing my thing. And it was freaking amazing to be thought of, you know. He's like, dude, you know, it was just so cool. Yeah. That's so amazing. To be in. Yeah.
Very cool. It's not still going on, right?
They're like, I think they're on season 10 right now. You can watch it on Amazon Prime. It's called The Blocks.
Is it already? Yeah, your
Beta
stuff
Blocks.
Already aired?
Season 7. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go watch it tonight.
Yeah.
When I get off this podcast,
check it out. Amazon. And then it's on Facebook. I don't know if you do Facebook much. Just look for Beta Blocks. There's an app, Beta Blocks. So. Pretty cool, man. Season 7 is the one that I'm in. And he gave us shout outs. He loved it. He's not an archer, but he plugged me, I think, 3 or 4 different times when he did that to almost no other businesses. Like, it was freaking cool. I had one of the coaches come in and offer me money up front. You know, she said, hey, I don't think you need me. I don't think you want me. She said, but I want to let you know, the day you're ready to blow this up, all you have to do is call me and we'll take it to the next level. I'm here anytime you want to call me. So, like, I know it's there. I know it's there.
Armando,
it's just,
yeah. Here's my, and I don't, again, I don't want to sway, but my opinion is, like, I think you should take the outside investment, put some of those smart, you know, business people around you guys and blow it up, man. You know, like, I would rather have 50% of a lot of money than 0% of, or than 100% of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, dude, that's the fight that I'm fighting right now. It's a tough one. So I think, you know, I'm all ears for the right investor, like a big, it's just going to have to feel right. I feel a very good judge of character. If something feels right, I'll go with it, you know, with some precaution. But if something doesn't feel right, like, I don't care what you offer me, you know, kind of like that lady, you know, she was great. She was an awesome coach, and she's, yeah, buku dollars. And I'm sure she would. I'm sure we could have been blown up by now already, but she's not a hunter. You know, she doesn't, it's not her world. I need somebody who, this is their world and they understand it that way. You know, like, they need to have a family, you know. They need to have the kids. They need to be on the same playing field, if you will, to help me make those decisions. Because if you're not, I don't think we could make any like-minded decisions.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a good point too. You got to be pretty comfortable with who you're getting into bed with, because that's a marriage too. Anybody you bring in a business, is you're marrying that person too for a very long time, unless you guys get divorced. And which surprises me, and you and your business partner are still kicking, man. A lot of times, like most of the time, when you start a business the way you and your partner have, it usually doesn't last, doesn't work out, because someone's pulling more weight than the other and someone gets mad and jealous. You know what I mean? So it usually doesn't work out. So I'm surprised that you have.
Yeah. It's, I mean, the good thing is both of us are very hard workers, you know, like, there'll be a time and a place for both of us to shine. Like, this is kind of my realm. I enjoy doing these things, and I enjoy, you know, speaking to new people and being on camera. I'm comfortable with it, and he doesn't like it. And, you know, so we're both good at our own things, which is cool. But yeah, I agree. We've been blessed to make it this far without, you know, without killing each other. We make it work. Like, we're not always, you know, high-fiving and stuff like that after a long show, but for the most part, it's been great.
That's great.
It's a business, you know, it is.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, we talked a ton about entrepreneurship on this podcast, and I want you guys to know that bowhitch.com, you got your Instagram is at the bowhitch, right? Is it the
Yeah.
bowhitch?
Yes, sir. The bowhitch. You got to put the bowhitch. Yeah.
And then your YouTube channel, what's that?
The bowhitch. The bowhitch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, our YouTube game is weak. Yeah, so we have a couple of clips on there. I have some videos on sizing the bow hitch, how to use it, some basic stuff. That way people get on and watch it. But eventually that'll move around and grow a little bit.
You guys definitely have to watch and see what happens with the bow hitch. Good dudes. I think they're gonna do some good stuff here in the future. So it's fun just to watch. You know what I mean? Like I was, you know, we kind of hit it off. I think we talked over social media and you sent me a product. I used it, loved it. We hit it off. And I love kind of being a part of it, man. And, you know, and anything I can do to help in the future too, I'm all about it too.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I thank you for, listening to me, number one, and saying, hey, yeah, I'll give it a shot. Like, you know, this weird ass little bracket, I'll give you a shot. So, you know, that's all it takes. And, that's one conversion at a time.
That's right, man.
Well,
hey, you got a good couple hunts coming up?
Well, hunts, I personally don't have any good hunts coming up, but I would like to share something, if I may, about our random acts of kindness where you could win some amazing hunts.
Yeah.
So every year in January, we do a random act of kindness that is free for anybody to get involved with. It's called random act of kindness because that's what it is. You do a random act of kindness for somebody, you come onto our Instagram page or our Facebook page, which he said is at the bow hitch. You go to our original post, you tell us what you did. Hey, I helped the grandma across the street. Hey, I helped change a light bulb. Whatever it is you did, could be big, could be small, but that gets you in to win one of our prizes. And so this year, for the second year in a row, we were given a hunt by Hawaii Hunts in Maui for an access deer hunt. So the winner, the grand prize winner, is going to be going on an access deer hunt in Maui, a fully guided hunt on his private property where he's got a shit ton of property and a shit ton of animals. So
Have
I
you ever been to
killed
Hawaii
two
hunting?
deer the last time.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I love hunting Hawaii.
Oh, dude, I went one time. So we went and I got to kill two amazing access deer. And then we also went over to the Big Island and I killed a beautiful sheep. Just incredible. I got to kill them both, all of them with two of them with my bow. And then I'm sorry, I killed a sheep with my bow and I killed one access deer with my bow. And then I killed an access deer with my rifle.
Cool. I
Yeah,
hunted the Big
freaking
Island,
so cool.
and I killed a couple of sheep there. I love hunting Hawaii, man. It's so much fun. So much fun.
Target rich environment, man. I had no idea how many animals were around. You know, if you got the property, there'll be animals on it.
Oh yeah, man. And axis deer tastes so good. Whew.
So good. So good. Yeah. Yeah. So that's our top prize for our random acts of kindness. Today I was just on the phone with we did an Instagram live with the Elk Bros, and them and Baldy Ridge Outfitters donated a fully guided cow hunt in New Mexico on the their private ranch, 8,000 acres. So that'll be a guided cow elk hunt. Dude, and then I have so many other prizes, like 30 other prizes that we're gonna be giving away, from calls to backpacks to swag to 12 bow hitches. I had one of my good buddies say, hey man, I want to donate a dozen bow hitches. Said, you know, if you give me a discount, I'm not gonna do it. So he's buying 12 bow hitches just to give away. I got art, I got jewelry, I have it's just amazing. So please, if you guys, you know, I wanted to bring that up. It's free to get into. Anybody who's listening, we do it every January, just a random act of kindness campaign. So get onto our page. It's our first pin post, and you'll be able to check it out, look into it. If you'd like to get in, we'd love to have you.
And by the time I edit this podcast and put it out, it's probably going to be close to February. So you guys will have
cool.
to do it
yeah.
January 2025. But I, you know, And I've seen you guys do that a little bit too. And I don't pay a ton of attention on social media. I just kind of do my thing. I don't try not to stay on it too much, but I'm gonna have to jump in there and do something with it, man. So I'll definitely be sharing.
Yeah, check it out. Cool. Yeah. Just helping share the word is the best thing we can do now, because we have so many prizes, like, but getting people to do the kind deeds just to see how far this ripple effect is kind of the important part right now.
Very cool. Cool, man.
Yeah. Are you going to Hunt Expo before we get off?
Man, I don't think I'm going to do any shows this year, just because I have to really balance how much time I'm away from the family. And do I want to spend that time going to shows, or want to spend that time hunting? Right. So
good call. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you guys going to be at Hunt Expo? Brother.
We'll be at Hunt Expo this year. So first year I've ever been. We got in off of the waiting list. So we're so excited to go show everybody what we got.
That's cool, man. Well, what date is that?
That's February, the weekend of the 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th.
All right. If I change my mind, I'm definitely going to have to hang out and bullshit with you guys at the booth.
Please do. Yeah. Please do. Yeah. No, thanks again, Kurt. I'm tickled pink that you offered to have me on your show, man. I appreciate it. And I enjoy watching your stuff, and I know you work your ass off at it. So you do a great job, just to commend you on that. Like, the effort that you put in shows, because your stuff is top notch, and kudos to you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. It means a lot, man. You're right. A lot of time and energy goes in, because, like, I'm in the same boat as you, man. Like, a lot of times I do all a self film hunt, and I do most of my editing. I do all my social media, man. I wear a lot of hats, dude, doing all that stuff myself, bro. So I appreciate that, man.
Cool. You got it. Yeah.
All right, guys, this is the Western Obsessions TV podcast. I'm your host, Kurt Belding. You were just listening to Armando Martinez with the Bow Hitch.
This is the Western Obsessions TV podcast, where hunting's not a hobby, it's an obsession.